Good evening, friends. May I give you a very warm welcome to our annual carol service here at Oughton Park Baptist Church. If this is your first time at the church, a particular warm welcome to yourselves. It's lovely to see you. The choir have been practicing for several weeks, rehearsing their pieces. Nadine whipping them in the shape, as I say, every year. And can I thank each one of you for giving up your time and taking time over the past several weeks out of a very busy schedule to come along and rehearse and sing God's praise. May the Lord bless your labours for him. Now, after the service, refreshments are provided, served through either of these two doors. Go into the blue room in the back, and you get tea, coffee, mince pies, etc. So please stay, chat afterwards, let us get to know yourselves. Maria has coordinated the mince pies and things, so thanks to Maria. You should have an order of service. Okay. Everything that's going to happen this evening will follow the order of service. The bold writing, the carol, the numbers are 311. You'll see them there on the board as well as written on your sheet. That's the light green hymn book in front of you. You'll find all the carols in that. The readings, the folks know who are doing the reading. They'll just come up, and everything should follow as it is on the notice sheet. Just at the back, you have the order of services at the church here. Over the Christmas period, if you haven't got a regular place of worship and would like to join us, the details are there. As I said, it would be lovely to see you again. So we're going to stand and sing Once in Royal David's City, 311 in the light green book. And after that, I'll pray, and then it's just as you find it on your order sheet.
Seen you, and he faileth
We'll come before God in an attitude of prayer. Friends, let us pray. Eternal God, blessed Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are not hidden away in some remote place. You are not distant. You are Emmanuel. You are God with us. God with us in the person of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the great I Am, the Almighty, the Ancient of Days, Lord of Hosts, King of Kings. And how we rejoice that you came to us. You who inhabit eternity came and dwelt with us. And as we think and reflect upon these very familiar truths, may the wonder and awe of what we're singing about and celebrating not be lost on us. May familiar carols and readings come to our souls with a freshness that it will take our breath away as we contemplate the incarnation, God becoming man. And as we read your word, and your word is read, help us to see Jesus, who is the fountain of life, the giver of life, the forgiver of sins. May we be taken up with him who loved us and give himself for us. And we ask, Lord, that you would instill within each of us a sense of reverence and awe. Show us the realities of the unseen world, the glories of heaven, that the passing things of this world may become increasingly dim. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Our first reading tonight is Christ's birth and kingdom are foretold by Isaiah. Readings are from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2, 6, and 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and up over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From this time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
Worship to our King. No one And the second reading, which is from Isaiah 11, the peace that Christ will bring is foreshown. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash round his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearlings together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
Oh. In our third reading, Matthew tells of the birth of Jesus. And this is the first chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God with us.
Oh, The shepherds go to the manger. Luke 2, verses 8 to 16. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all the people. First is born to you this day in the city of David, a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with angels a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them unto heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger.
Our next reading tells of the wise men who are led by the star to Jesus, and we read from Matthew chapter 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east, and they came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. And when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And when he had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Our final reading is taken from the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1 to 14, titled, John Unfurls the Great Mystery of the Incarnation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Thank you.
To hear the choir again. They'll be repeating this performance on Sunday over at Parbold at 3 o'clock. That's Parbold Evangelical Church at 3 o'clock. Just one other reading from Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 1. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent to God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Amen. You've heard a number of readings tonight from the Word of God, the Bible. The Bible is more than just an ancient book. The Bible is actually God's word to us. It's God's authoritative word, inspired by him, given to us that we may know him, and that we also may know ourselves. And the Bible is divided into two testaments, the Old Testament and the New Testament. You've heard readings tonight from both testaments, the Old and the New. Now, between the Old and the New Testament, there were what we call 400 silent years. And what we mean by that is that during that time, there had been no revelation from God, no miracle, certainly no sequence of miracles, and certainly no angelic visitation. But then for the second time, in a span of a few months, the same angel appeared. Both times with an extraordinary birth announcement to an ordinary person. Gabriel is one of two angels who are actually named in the Bible. The other one is Michael. But Gabriel is God's supreme messenger who brought great, glorious, and crucial announcements from heaven. Friends, it's Gabriel who delivered the most astounding and significant birth announcement ever. His words about a divine child, Jesus, constitute a summary of the entire person and work of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. The summary appears simple on the surface, but the complexity of each facet challenges our ability to grasp and appreciate all that the angel said to Mary. It's truly, friends, it's truly awesome to contemplate Jesus' saving work, his perfectly righteous life, his title of deity, and his kingly position, all in the same concise overview that the angel gave to Mary. Now, the first one I would just want to notice, and I'm only going to take several minutes tonight to go through some of these, just to highlight them for you. Firstly, the angel gives a preliminary indication of the child's saving mission. Jesus' name itself comes from the Hebrew Yeshua, which means Jehovah saves. The God of the Old Testament is a saving God. Now, you may have heard people saying, you know, the God of the Old Testament, you know, he's a belligerent God, he's a capricious God, he's an angry God, he's a God of wrath. And, you know, the God of the New Testament, well, that's the more benign God. Well, the God of the Old Testament is the same as the God of the New Testament. And the God of the Old Testament declares himself to be a saving God. And certainly if you listen to the testimony of the people in the Old Testament, that's their testimony. God saves. Who is a pardoning God like you? You know, so the God of the Old Testament is exactly the same as the God in the New Testament. And the people of the Old Testament knew their God to be a saving God, as the many prophecies indicate. 2 Samuel 7:23, Job 19:25. Isaiah 44:21 through 23, Isaiah 45:21, Hosea 14, verse 2, Joel 2, verses 12 to 14, Jonah 2, verse 9, and friend, many, many other portions of scripture from the Old Testament that declare that God is a saving God. In Luke's description of the incarnation, he reiterates and underscores the point that the child Jesus was the long-awaited Savior. He says to the shepherds, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And later in the Gospel, while chronicling Christ's ministry, conveying in Jesus' own words, Luke tells us the reason, Jesus tells us why he came. He says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Friends, you see, we are lost to God. We are lost to the things of God because of our sin, because our race fell into sin. And God is reaching out to us in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Secondly, Gabriel makes a simple statement that Jesus would be great. Now, some people who commentate on the Bible would say it's better to translate the Greek word for great as extraordinary. Or it might be better still to substitute the adjective splendid, magnificent, noble, distinguished, powerful, or eminent. But those words still don't allow us to speak as excitedly and sing as excitedly as we ought to about the life of Jesus Christ. Christ's greatness is best understood in relation to what the Apostle John wrote about him in his Gospel, chapter 12, verse 37 to 41. This is what John wrote. Listen to this. But although he, that is Jesus, although he had done so many signs before them, you know, he had raised the dead, he had walked on water, he had fed 5,000 people, etc. He had done so many signs before them, they did not believe him. And that the word of Isaiah the prophet, written several hundred years before Jesus was born, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which spoke, Lord, who has believed our report? Or who, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so I should heal them. These things Isaiah said when he saw his glory and spoke of him. Now, that is a reference in Isaiah chapter 6. After a Judean king called Uzziah died, Isaiah goes up into the temple and he sees a vision in the temple of God. And John is saying here, you know who that vision was of? It was of Jesus Christ, God the Son, sitting on the throne. And you see, John is saying the prophet Isaiah knew that one day God would send his Messiah son to give perfect life, to live a perfect life among his people and to save them from their sins. The apostles witnessed and described that same glory when they said, we beheld his glory. We saw what he was like. And they confess to us in the New Testament. Thirdly, Gabriel's announcement also affirms the deity of Christ. He will be called the Son of the Most High. Most High was simply a title for God, clearly indicating that nobody is higher than he. Mary and the other righteous Jews were familiar with that title because it's used throughout the Old Testament. The Hebrew equivalent of the Greek term used there by Luke is El Elyon, means God Most High. And that title refers to God's sovereignty and the fact that no one is higher, more exalted, or more powerful than he is. Friends, to identify Jesus as the Son of the Most High is to declare that he is in the same essence as the Most High God. He is God. Gabriel announced, and the New Testament confirms, that Jesus is unquestionably God in the flesh. Fourthly and lastly, friends, the story of Jesus will wonderfully conclude with his sovereign rule over a new heaven and a new earth. The story of redemption will culminate with great precision in the glorious reign of Jesus Christ in his eternal kingdom. You know, when Jesus came to earth the first time as an infant, we were singing about it tonight, he still came as king. He still is king. He is still reigning. He is still in control. But that sovereignty isn't recognized. It wasn't recognized when he came the first time. It's still not recognized today. However, when King Jesus returns, his position will be recognized, because it says every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And so, friends, Jesus Christ will return. Assuredly, as he came the first time, he will return and he will judge the unbelieving and establish his kingdom of righteousness, peace, and truth. Satan and all his followers will be crushed and sent to the lake of fire. The Lord will establish his eternal kingdom. The magnificent words of Handel's Hallelujah Chorus perfectly describe the conclusion. He shall reign forever and ever. Friends, the angelic message of that first Christmas is the good news of God's answer to all confusion, all the chaos, all the complexities and conflicts of life. Friends, it is the gift of the newborn infant who is Emmanuel, God with us. And he reaches out his hand this evening and he says, I will be God with you. Repent of your sin, accept me as your Saviour, and you will also know the joy of sins forgiven. Our closing hymn is number 298, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. As I say, please don't rush off afterwards. Stay behind for some refreshments, but let us stand and sing 298, and followed by the benediction. Receive from us our thanks for the gift of your beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, King of Kings, the one who came into the world to be Saviour. We ask, Lord, that you would bless these refreshments that are provided for us and the conversation afterwards. Bless each soul represented here this evening. May your word speak to each of our hearts long after the voice of man is silent. In Jesus' name, Amen.